ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Answers by Citing the Lord's Version, Text Number 35. Yatha mahanti bhutani, bhudeshu chavacheshvanu, pravishtanya pravishtani, तथातेषु नतेष्वहम्। यथा जस्ट एस महान्ति द यूनिवर्सल भूतानि एलिमेंट्स भूतेषु उच्च अवचेषु इन द माइन्यूट एंड जाइजेंटिक अनु After Pravishtani entered, Apravishtani not entered, Tatha so Teshu in them, Na not Teshu in them, Aham myself. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created and at the same time I am outside of everything. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's a very long purport and I will read the full purport and please listen very attentively. It's a very important purport. The great elements of material creation, namely earth, water, fire, air and ether, all enter into the body of all manifested entities. The seas, mountains, aquatics, plants, reptiles, birds, beasts, human beings, demigods and everyone materially manifested. And at the same time, such elements are differently situated. In the developed stage of consciousness, the human being can study both physiological and physical science, but the same principle of such science are nothing but the material elements and nothing more. The body of the human being and the body of the mountains, as also the bodies of the demigods, including Brahma, are all of the same ingredients, earth, water, etc. And at the same time, the elements are beyond the body. The elements were created first, and therefore they entered into the bodily construction later. But in both circumstances, they entered the cosmos and also did not enter. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, by his different energies, namely internal and external, is within everything in the manifested cosmos, and at the same time, he is outside of everything, situated in the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha Loka, as described before. This is very nicely stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.37 as follows. Ananda Chinmay Rasa Pradibhavita Abhis Tabhir Ye Eva Nicha Rupataya Kalabhir Goloka Eva Nivasatyakhilatma Bhudo Govinda Madhi Purisham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the personality of Godhead Govinda, who by expansion of his internal potency of transcendental existence, knowledge and bliss enjoys in his own and expanded forms. Simultaneously, he enters into every atom of the creation. This expansion of his plenary parts is also more definitely explained in the same Brahma Samhita 5.35 as follows. Egopyaso Arachaitum Jagatanda Kodim Yachaktir Asit Jagatanda Chaya Yat Antaha Andandarasta Paramanu Chayandarastam Govinda Madhipurisham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the personality of Godhead Govinda, who by one of his plenary portions enters into the existence of every universe and every particle of the atoms, and thus unlimitedly manifests his infinite energy all over the material creation. The impersonalist can imagine or even perceive that the Supreme Brahman is thus all-pervading, and therefore they conclude that there is no possibility of his personal form. Herein lies the mystery of his transcendental knowledge. The mystery is transcendental love of Godhead, and one who is surcharged with such transcendental love of Godhead can without difficulty see the personality of Godhead in every atom and every movable and immovable object. And at the same time, he can see that personality of Godhead in his own abode, Golok, enjoying eternal pastimes with his eternal associates, who are also expansions of his transcendental existence. This vision is the real mystery of material knowledge, and as stated by the Lord in the beginning, Sarahasyam Tadangam Cha. The mystery is the most confidential part of the knowledge of the Supreme, and it is impossible for the mental speculators to discover by dint of intellectual gymnastics. The mystery can be revealed through the process recommended by Brahmaji in his Brahma Samhita 5.38 as follows. Premanjana chrita bhakti vilochanena sandasadeva hrideshu vilokayandi yam shyama sundaram ajindya gunasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the original personality of Godhead Govinda, whom the pure devotees, their eyes smeared with ointment of love of Godhead, always observe within their heart. This Govinda, the original personality of Godhead, is Shamsundar with all transcendental qualities. Therefore, although he is present in every atom, the Supreme Personality of Godhead may not be visible to the dry speculators. Still, the mystery is unfolded before the eyes of the pure devotee because their eyes are anointed with love of Godhead. And this love of Godhead can be attained only by the practice of transcendental loving service of the Lord and nothing else. The vision of the devotee is not ordinary. It is purified by the process of devotional service. In other words, as the universal elements are both within and without, similarly, the Lord's name, form, quality, pastimes and entourage, etc., as they are described in the revealed scriptures or as performed in the Vaikuntha Loka, far, far beyond the material cosmic manifestations, are factually being televised in the heart of the devotee. The man with a pure, poor fund of knowledge cannot understand, although by material science one can see things far away by means of television. Factually, the spiritually developed person is able to have the television of the kingdom of God always reflected within his heart. This is the mystery of knowledge of the personality of Godhead. The Lord can award anyone and everyone liberation, mukti, from the bondage of material existence, yet he rarely award the privilege of love of Godhead as confirmed by Narada, muktim dadadikar hichit smada bhakti yogam. This transcendental devotional service of the Lord is so wonderful that the occupation keeps the deserving devotee always wrapped in psychological activities without deviation from the absolute touch. Thus, love of Godhead developed in the heart of the devotee is a great mystery. Brahmaji previously told Narada that the desires of Brahmaji are never unfulfilled because he is always absorbed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Nor has he any desire in his heart save and accept the transcendental service of the Lord. That is the beauty of mystery of the process of Bhakti Yoga. As the Lord's desire is infallible because he is Achyuta, similarly, the desires of the devotees in the transcendental service of the Lord is also Achyuta, infallible. This is very difficult, however, for the layman to understand without knowledge of the mystery of devotional service. As it is very difficult to know the potency of touchstone, as touchstones is sorry, as touchstone is rarely found, a pure devotee of the Lord is also rarely to be seen. Even amongst millions of liberated souls, Kodisho Api Mahamune, all kinds of perfections attained by the process of knowledge, yoga perfection in devotional service is the highest of all and the most mysterious also. Even more mysterious than the eight kind of mystic perfection attained by the process of yogic performances. In Bhagavad Gita 18.64, the Lord therefore advised Arjuna about this bhakti yoga. Sarva guhyatamam bhuya shrunume paramam vachaha. Just hear from me again about the most confidential part of instructions in Bhagavad Gita. The same was confirmed by Brahmaji to Narada in the following words. Idam bhagavatam nama yanme bhagavatoditam sangraho yam vibhutinam tom etat vipulikuru. Brahmaji said, Narada, whatever I have spoken to you about the Bhagavatam was explained to me by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I am advising you to expand these topics nicely so that the people may easily understand the mysterious bhakti yoga by transcendental loving service to the Lord. It is to be noted here that the mystery of bhakti yoga was disclosed to Brahmaji by the Lord himself. Brahmaji expanded the same mystery to Narada. Narada explained it to Vyasa. Vyasa explained to Sukadeva Goswami. And that same knowledge is coming down in the unalloyed chain of disciplic succession. If one is fortunate enough to have received the knowledge in the transcendental disciplic succession, surely he will have the chance to understand the mystery of the Lord and that of Srimad Bhagavatam, the sound incarnation of the Lord. Jai Shila Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnanachana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhudam Parijana Sahidam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchagalpa Darubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Bhutair Mahadbhir Ya Ima Puro Vibhu Dharmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhungte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Solankrishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime. Hare Krishna. Here we are in the last but one verse of Chatushloki, and this verse is very, very important because this verse is explaining the prayojan, the ultimate objective of devotional service. Let's try to appreciate this Chatushloki as the first step. If we try to understand, or if we try to just look upon the Vedic literature, we understand that this literature is very vast. So many thousands of verses, millions of verses are present in Vedic literature. Rigveda has around 10,500 verses. You know, Sama, Yajur, Athava, they have similar number of verses. And if we consider Upanishads, there are another thousands of verses. And if we consider Puranas, That is a major chunk. So many thousands of verses. Just Mahabharat alone has got 200,000 verses. And as we know, Bhagavad Puran, 18,000 verses. So if you try to see, even try to perceive the whole Vedic literature, it is quite difficult. And it sounds insurmountable. That much. And who can practically read all of them? And even if one manages to read all these Vedic literatures, who can understand them correctly? Then if one try to understand, if they understand the Sanskrit, and if they understand the, both the Vedic Sanskrit and the Puranic Sanskrit, and if they just understand everything, but who can resolve the contradiction present within the scriptures? Because the scriptures by themselves contradict for a purpose, but they contradict. So who can resolve these contradictions? And, okay, if somebody may be able to avoid the contradictions, then who can actually categorize according to themes? Because categorizing means one understand very thoroughly and then one can categorize into different themes. So who can do that? And after even categorizing, who can come to the right conclusion of all the scriptures? Then we understand that just by human endeavor, it is impossible. There are so many Indologists, there are so many scholars, even in the universities who study the scriptures, but they cannot come to any kind of conclusions. Some people just focus on one Veda, and their whole life is based on that just Veda, Rig Veda, that's it. And a few of them focus on Puranas, because it is a vast mass of literature, and most of them do not want to enter into Puranas, because it is too much of work, it's too much of hard work. And there are a few of them who have studied most of it. Still, they cannot come to the right conclusion. It is impossible. As stated in Mahabharata, Tarka Pradishto Shrutayo Vibhinna. Shrutayo Vibhinna, the Shrutis are Vibhinna. They have different departments and these different departments present different things. And having stated all these in the scriptures, the real essence of all the scriptures are hidden. Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. And it is hidden in the heart of Mahajans. Mahajana yena gata sapantha. It is hidden in the heart of pure devotees. So how is it possible to understand all the scriptures? Just by study. It is said that we are covered by trividha seema. Three kinds of seema, three kinds of limitations are imposed on any conditioned beings. One is that of the time, one is that of the space, and one is that of the thought or the mind. Trividha seema. So even one wants to study the whole the scriptures, one cannot because time is limited. And maybe one has time, but the space can separate because all the scriptures may not be available. Which has happened, it's a fact. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to wait, 5 years or more to get an authentic version of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's not easy. And even if one has all the facilities, still the mind in itself is limited. So, one is denied access to the inner core of scriptures. Okay, if we resolve all these things, even if we have access, if we resolve all these things, still the Lord reserves his right to reveal the real meaning of scriptures. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, Krishna advises Uddhava. He says that, Parakshavado Risheha Paroksham Mamacha Priyam. He says, the explanation of the scriptures and the explanations within the scriptures by great sages are esoteric or indirect. And Paroksham Amacha Priyam, and I like that. So the indirect sayings are favorite to the Lord. He likes it. So the scriptures present things in a confidential way, in an esoteric way, in an indirect way, and the Lord says he likes. So we can see many places in direct sayings. And even if there are direct sayings, still the Lord reserves his right to reveal to that person or not. Because it is dependent on the consciousness of that particular person who reads or studies the scripture. And that consciousness is dependent on the surrender of that soul unto Krishna. So ultimately it is personal. So this Parokshavad can be a device to cover the real knowledge. At the same time, it is very personal, because if Lord thinks, okay, I want to reveal this knowledge, he can give to anyone. And if he thinks he doesn't want to, he will not give. So the scriptures are open secret. Bhagavad Gita, everything is written very clearly, but how many can understand Bhagavad Gita? As Srila Prabhupada himself stated in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita that there are 500 commentaries in English for Bhagavad Gita. At the time, Srila Prabhupada wrote Bhagavad Gita as it is. But none of them are bona fide. None of them reveals the right meaning. They give their own interpretation, their own opinion. So see how difficult it is to understand the scriptures and come to the right conclusion. So there is a very interesting conversation in America, in one of the temples. Srila Prabhupada sits with a group of professors from the university. Many of you might have watched. And Srila Prabhupada in that conversation says, you are all theologists, and what you are looking for, that absolute truth, I am giving you. You take it. That is Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada calls one little small kid and asks, who is supreme, who is God? Then she says that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada says, you are trying to study so much, but the conclusions I am giving you, that is Krishna. And even a small child can understand. Similar incident took place even in Mayapur, where a great assembly of pandits went in front of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada asked the assembly of pandits that, you have all Vedic scholars, so what is the conclusion? What is the absolute truth according to you from the Vedas? And the pandits, all of them said, that we cannot say. Because there is no agreement among that. There was no agreement. And at that time, Srila Prabhupada asked one Gurukuli boy and asked the same question. Who is God? What is the absolute? Then the boy told, Krishna. Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. So this is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And now, the verse we are trying to read, it is a very confidential verse. The meaning to it is very confidential. Because the Lord himself mentioned a few verses above that sarahasyam tadangam. Sarahasyam. This verse is the rahasyam. This is the secret which the Lord is going to reveal. And it can only be understood by a pure devotee. And Srila Prabhupada understood, the acharyas understood, and they are giving us the real meaning of this verse. Otherwise, we have no access. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada is carrying the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Chaitanya Prasadena Tadrubasya Vinirnayam Balobi Kurute Shastram Drishtva Vraja Vilasineha. That even a foolish child can present the absolute truth as Krishna, who is the enjoyer of pastimes of Vrindavan, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Even a foolish child can describe this by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And Srila Prabhupada brought this to all of us. And that's why we are getting an opportunity to understand what it is, what is the absolute truth. And this verse specifically, as I mentioned earlier, is quite indirect. There is no direct explanation to it. It is very indirect. And the Lord can explain this. This verse is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. The reason is Vedanta Krit Vedavit Evachaham. The Lord knows everything. So he can reveal to his devotees and he himself can explain. So that is the importance of this verse, and we can try to appreciate. As Keshava Prabhu was mentioning yesterday, this Chatushloki explains the three categories of knowledge that is presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. One is Sambandha, One is abhideya and one is prayojana. Interesting enough, the first verse, aham eva agre, that verse is presenting the sambandha, the first verse, 33. And 34 is again negating the separation of any of his energies to the Lord, and thus defining maya. And here, after sambandha, he is not explaining abhideya. This verse is about prayojan. Usually sambandha, then abhideya, then prayojan. But here, the order is changed. That is, this one is about prayojan. Why is it like that? The reason is, once we present the sambandha, one understands one's connection with Krishna. Then, prayojan can inspire one. What one can achieve if one, through the process. So before giving the process, the result is given. So first the connection is established, and then what one can achieve, the goal is presented, which is attractive, and then the process is given. So to achieve this goal, what is the process? Now let's take a connection between the last verse and this verse. In the last verse, the description or definition of maya is presented. If one thinks or if one perceives anything is separated from the Lord, then that perception is defined maya. So here, instead, the prema bhakti is presented. Why is it presented? Because ultimately, one can get out from illusion only by bhakti, and ultimately by prema bhakti. And to define that, okay, it is presented, okay, this is the way one can ultimately get out from the clutches of maya. So that is another significance of this verse and the sequence. And here, the example here given is interesting, because as the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos, how is it possible? Because initially the universal elements are present, earth, water, fire, ether, etc. And they are present as an ultimate reservoir, and it is unmanifested at one stage and it becomes manifested as we can see our own body. This, you know, whatever we see in this world, it is manifestation of the material elements. So in one sense, the material elements have entered into the cosmos, because we can see the forms which are made of material elements. But at the same time, there is a reservoir of material elements outside of it. As we hear in the prayers in Sri Isha Upanishad, there the devotee prays that, okay, I am leaving my body, then the air within my body, let it merge into the reservoir of universal air. So the elements are existing in both aspects, within and without. So this is a material example given by the Lord to explain something which is very wonderful and something which is mysterious. I will read that. What is that mystery? Srila Prabhupada explained, this mystery is transcendental love of Godhead, and one who is surcharged with such transcendent love of Godhead can without difficulty see the personality of Godhead in every atom and every movable and immovable object. So this is perceiving the Lord by a pure devotee in everything, movable or immovable. Now, stavara jangama dekhe na dekhe tara murti sarvatra haya nija ishta deva spurti. So that is explanation of pure devotion, where a devotee perceives the Supreme Lord in his two-handed form as Shyam Sundar everywhere. Premanjana Churida Bhakti Vilochanena Sandasadeva Hridayeshu Viglokayanti Yam Shyama Sundaram Achindya Gunaswarupam Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So such devotees, they can see Shyam Sundar everywhere. And how about a practicing devotee? A practicing devotee should see connection based on understanding. Based on theoretical understanding, one can see the connection. One may not see the Shyam Sundar form, but one can connect the objects, the energies in service of Krishna. So that is the principle of Yukta Vairagya. Engaging the energies of Krishna to the energetic, to Krishna. So that is Yukta Vairagya. So that is the practice which can lead to seeing Krishna face to face, even in material elements. So that is, actually they are seeing within the heart. Santa Sadeva Hrideshu Vilokayanti. He is seeing within the heart. And Srila Prabhupada continues, in other words, as the universal elements are both within and without, similarly, the Lord's name, form, quality and pastime, and entourage, etc., as they are described in the revealed scriptures, or as performed in the Vaikuntha Lokas, far, far beyond the material cosmic manifestation, are factually being televised in the heart of the devotee. So in the heart of the devotee, he is seeing the pastimes of the Lord. So it is not an imagination. It is mentioned, the super soul, the Lord himself enters into the heart of the devotee and performs pastimes, and the devotee is getting a vision of that pastime. That is his internal absorption. So it is not imagination. It is not just a thought. But it is a reality manifesting in the heart of a devotee. I will read a little bit from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the same verse is explained and Srila Prabhupada gives a beautiful purport. Because of his development of transcendental attachment for the Supreme Lord, a surrendered soul feels the presence of his beloved everywhere, and all his senses are engaged in the loving service of the Lord. His eyes are engaged in seeing the beautiful couple Sri Radha and Sri Radha and Krishna. His nose is engaged in smelling the spiritual aroma of the lotus feet of the Lord. A pure devotee actually manifested this. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was walking with a group of devotees in Mayapur, and there is, you know, India people pass, you know, pass tool some, you know, near the road and the field. So, you know, so there were a lot of stool here and there, and Bhaktisiddhanta was walking along with his disciples, and all of them, they said they felt disgusted, except Bhaktisiddhanta. They felt disgusted because of the foul smell, and they complained to Bhaktisiddhanta, see, smell, you know, such a horrible smell. So Bhaktisiddhanta, to make the point that he is not within this realm, he is in the spiritual abode while walking in Mayapur, because Mayapur is dham, it's no different from the supreme abode. So he made the point that, can't you smell the sweet aroma of the scent, fragrance? Can't you smell this fragrance? So he made the point that dham is no different, and a pure devotee is perceiving the dham completely. So this is smelling the lotus feet of the Lord all the time, even in apparent contradictory smell of the material world. So he made this point. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada was giving this nice lecture in Bombay, where Shabdam Ke Paurisham Drishu, you might remember this verse from the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, I am the sound in the ether, sound in the sky, Shabdam Ke. So Prabhupada was giving in this lecture in Bombay, and in that recording, you can constantly hear, you know, so much of noise from outside, because it is Bombay, so much of hustle and bustle, so much of traffic, and it is just, even we get disturbed by that sound, even in recording, because Srila Prabhupada's voice is prominent, still in the background you can see so much of noise. And in that noise, Srila Prabhupada made a very wonderful statement that this is Bombay, this is so noisy, but Shabdam Ke, one can perceive Krishna even in this noise. Not in just holy name, but in this so-called noise. So it was amazing to hear that a pure devotee, even in any sound, he can think about Krishna, he can perceive Krishna. So this is pure devotional service. Srila Prabhupada manifested. Now, explaining a little bit further on this same verse, similar verse is quoted in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very interesting because Krishna speaks the same verse to gopis. So here, it's a very interesting explanation. The reason is, this Chadashloki was spoken by Supreme Lord, and in this context, we understand Vishnu form of the Lord spoke to Brahmaji. However, Krishna also, in his Vrindavan form, speaks to gopis. The same thing. I will just read this. This is 10th canto, 47th chapter, 29th verse. My dear gopis, just as five material elements of earth, water, fire, air, and ether are all pervading in this material world and present in the bodies of all living entities, in the same way I am always present within you. I reside in your minds, senses, and your life breath, for I have taken shelter in all these places. Can you see? Krishna being captured by his pure devotees. Now, there is an explanation to this, given by acharyas. So I will try to read the explanation. So this is explained in an interesting way. In terms of the elements. So here, different material elements, as we saw just now, that earth, water, fire, ether. We saw the different elements. And in the process of creation, these elements are created in a particular sequence. And one element becomes the cause of another element. So that is creation. Say, for example, ether is situated in air, and air in fire, fire in water, and water in earth. So if you try to understand the creation, there is a sequence in which these material elements are created. So this means that one element is acting as the cause of another element, and it actually moves on. So Krishna uses this example to show that Krishna is the ultimate cause of everything. And the cause is present within the effect. And so, Krishna being the cause of everything, and he is present in the heart of the effect of Prema Bhakti in his loving devotees. So in that way, Krishna is present, as it's mentioned earlier, in the mind, senses, and life breath and of his pure devotees. So Krishna is using this example to show how the cause is present within the effect. And in the same way, the Lord is present in the heart of the pure devotees of Krishna. Now, explaining a little bit further, it's very, very interesting statement Srila Prabhupada gives the example of television. If something is happening in far distance, it can be televised in the heart, in the TV screen. In the same way, the eternal pastimes of the Lord and everything can be manifested within the heart of a devotee. And Srila Prabhupada says, that broadcast goes on constantly, continuously. There is no stoppage to it. Even in a normal television show, there are impediments. But for a pure devotee, there is nothing can stop that. It is constant. So this gives us, you know, a kind of, at least a vague theoretical understanding of, you know, what is that, which is inconceivable. We could see from a distance. After this, explaining this, Srila Prabhupada moves on explaining that one could get liberation from the material clutches in terms of mukti, but one cannot get bhakti. Muktim dadadi karhechis mana bhakti yogam. Narada Muni tells to Yudhishthira Maharaj, muktim dadadi karhechis mana bhakti yogam. Muktim dadati, the Lord gives mukti. He is pretty okay to give mukti to anyone. But bhakti yogam, karhechit nandadadi, he doesn't give so easily. He reserves, he checks whether to give or not. So that is his prerogative. So this is the position of Bhakti. And Prabhupada explains the so-called speculators or those who do intellectual gymnastics, they cannot understand this mystery of devotional service. And Acharya explains that anything other than Prem Bhakti, if one presents as the conclusion of this verse, then it is wrong. So the only conclusion that can arrive at after reading this verse is Prema Bhakti. So this is the conclusion of Acharya. So they present very emphatically the purport to this. And Srila Prabhupada is presenting so beautifully. So this comes to the internal and external activities of a pure devotee. Prabhupada explains, this transcendental loving devotional service of the Lord is so wonderful that the occupation keeps the deserving devotee always wrapped in psychological activities without deviation from the absolute touch. Can you understand the psychological activity of a pure devotee? How he is always in touch with Krishna. Always. That is the Shakti of Bhakti. Like Srila Prabhupada, he carried Vrindavan everywhere. Wherever he went, he carried Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan Leela is always manifesting in the heart of Srila Prabhupada. One time, His Grace Burijan Prabhu was explaining how Srila Prabhupada would answer all the questions from a different realm altogether. For us, if we ask one question, we have a standard answer. If such and such thing happens, we have a philosophical answer. And pretty much we explain the same answer whoever we get asked. But Srila Prabhupada, when he gets a question, he takes a question and the question is answered in such a way that it completely touches the heart of whoever is asking question and he gets complete satisfaction. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada is answering, being in touch with Krishna. Since he is in touch with Krishna, he is in touch with all the living entities. So he can touch the heart of different living entities. So many times, Srila Prabhupada gave answers which were very short, but it was completely satisfying. For example, one example comes to my mind. One devotee really wanted to ask a substantial question to Srila Prabhupada. And he thought, okay, when we go to morning walk, I want to ask one question. Because I haven't asked any question in my life to Srila Prabhupada. One question at least I want to ask. So they went around for walking. And then he never asked. He never got courage to ask the question. So the time Srila Prabhupada entered into the car and sat down, at that point the door was about to shut. At that point, this devotee asked, how can I become Krishna conscious? It's a good question, but it's a very deep question. Srila Prabhupada, he looked at him and he told him, desire. That's what he told. Just one word, desire. But for that devotee, that just one word was completely satisfying. And that became one of the most memorable event in his life. So see, just one word is touching the heart of a devotee. If you ever watch memories of Srila Prabhupada, we can see the devotees may not have a conversation with Srila Prabhupada. It is a very, a word, a sentence, or a look. It is very simple. It looks very simple. But since a pure devotee is in touch with Krishna, his communication in any way to that devotee, even just with the sight, that becomes immense. It becomes very powerful. And it changes the heart of that devotee. And one relishes that throughout the life. So this is the potency of a pure devotee. As it is said, when we are immature, we have many words and less effect. But when it's a pure devotee, it's least words but maximum effect. Because of touch with Krishna. So only thing we can do is, we can just aspire, we can just practice sadhana in a proper fashion. We can try our best. We can give it a good go. and we can try to preach. We don't have any choice. We have to be sincere in our attempt. Don't think we can create a big impact all of a sudden. It may not happen, but Krishna can interfere. He can do what he wants. But we should try at least our minimum in the best possible way. Then Prabhupada continues to explain, the desire of a pure devotee is Achyuta. The Lord is known as Achyuta, right? Because he is infallible. He never falls down from his position. In Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada also explains, Achyuta also means that Krishna never deviates or falls down from fulfilling the desire of his devotees. So the same point is mentioned here also. As the Lord's desire is infallible because he is Achyuta, similarly the desire of the devotee in the transcendental service of the Lord are also Achyuta, infallible. This is a very important point. This is a crucial point in our devotional service. I'll explain why. Before that, the example to this is given by Srila Prabhupada in the purport. That is, Brahmaji previously told Narada that the desires of Brahmaji are never unfulfilled because he is always absorbed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, nor has he any desire in his heart save and except the transcendental service of the Lord. See, Brahma's desire was never unfulfilled by the mercy of the Lord. So Brahma is a pure devotee, he is serving the Lord. And he is only doing service to the Lord. And his desires remains always fulfilled by the mercy of the Lord. Why is it so important for us? It is important for us because if we serve an advanced devotee who is pure in heart, Nindadi Shunya Hrdaya Eepsita Sangalabdhya, if we serve such a devotee who is pure hearted, then what happens? We get their blessings. We get their mercy. And if we get their blessings, that what happens? Then they desire that, okay, let him develop some attraction for Krishna. Let him do his service properly. So when such a pure devotee has such a well-wisher for a neophyte, then the advancement is rapid. Can you see? So this is a very important point. Why we have to serve devotees in general and also very advanced devotees. Because if they desire, then our life is transformed. Because they are in touch with Krishna and their desire never becomes unfulfilled. As Srila Prabhupada, even before all the temples were there, we know he was sitting in a park and he was speaking to one person, you know, an unknown person. Srila Prabhupada was telling, now I have so many temples, I have so many devotees. But only time is separating me from that. See, Prabhupada actually could see that. A pure devotee's desire never remains unfulfilled by the mercy of the Lord. So if we get that mercy from a pure devotee, then our life is successful. So this has to be our motivation to serve senior devotees, to serve spiritual master, because their desire is sufficient to transform our life, to transform our heart. Our own endeavor, it is impossible. With mental adjustment, not possible. With intellectual gymnastics, impossible. But if we get a bit of mercy, then it is possible. As Brahma says, Prasada leshanugrahita evahi. Lesha, little bit. If one gets a little bit mercy, then one can understand the glories of the Lord. One can accept. Without that mercy, it is impossible. And Srila Prabhupada makes this point again very clear. Such a pure devotee is very rare. He gives the example of a touchstone. Have you ever seen a touchstone? Probably not. So touchstone is indeed very rare. So, and a pure devotee is also very rare. Because his heart, Krishna is there. Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhaya. So he can give Krishna to anyone. And then what happens? then we get a little bit of Krishna consciousness. Then we start the process of sadhana when we get the mercy of the devotees. Srila Prabhupada glorifies the disciplic succession, because without disciplic succession, there is no possibility of understanding these highest principles of bhakti, or to start our sadhana or seva, there is no opportunity at all. So Prabhupada says, yes, this disciplic succession is the mystery. The mystery of Bhagavatam can be revealed through disciplic succession. And then one can practice and one can achieve the real goal of life. So the concluding statement of Srila Prabhupada is interesting. Surely he will have the chance to understand the mystery of the Lord and that of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sound incarnation of the Lord. Surely, Prabhupada says, by following disciplic succession, surely he will have a chance to understand the Lord as well as Srimad Bhagavatam. So with this, I conclude and see if there are any comments or questions.
To a layman, how will they understand that Krishna is there both inside and outside?
What is it?
How will you make a layman understand that Krishna is present in the atom and also not present?
Is present within the atom and is not present within the atom.
Yeah.
Or present outside and inside, right? Just like sun is far, far distant. So in that sense, just like Golok Vrindavan is far, far distant in that sense. And the Lord is present in Golok Vrindavan. In the same way, the sun is present in, sun god is present in the sun planet. At the same time, his energy is present as sun rays in a room. If there is a window, the sun rays can enter the room, which is far, far distant. So in one sense, the sun is present in the room. Because sun is present, we say sunlight is here. At the same time, he's not there because the entire sun is not present. So he's far distant and at the same time, he's near. So this is only a material example. But actually, there is no example which can explain the inconceivable principle. There's no example actually which can explain the inconceivable principle, because it is inconceivable. It is achintya. How can we understand the Lord is present in Golok Vrindavan and he can completely manifest along with his dham, along with his devotees performing pastimes in the heart of a devotee? So this is inconceivable. So this is achintya explanation. There is no explanation. So by definition, there is no explanation. But we can hint what it is by some material examples. Yes, Prabhu.
What is an example in the Vedas that there is a contradiction? And why is there such contradictions?
Why there is... There are contradictions in the Vedas because contradiction is a device by which one can state a principle which is above a particular platform. In one level of consciousness, it's a contradiction. But one elevates one's consciousness to the next level, then it is not a contradiction, but it is getting resolved. For example, if you want to explain a three-dimensional object by shadow in two dimension, it is very difficult. You can get a hint to it, but still there will be contradictions. But if you go to the third dimension, if you have the three-dimensional space, if you try to see, then you can actually understand the three dimensions. So in the same way, the contradictions present within the Vedas are contradiction according to material perception. And according to spiritual perceptions, they are not contradictions. So this forces a practitioner to come to the spiritual standard so he can see. And a neophyte cannot suddenly go to the spiritual platform. So we take shelter of pure devotees. They resolve the contradiction and they explain to us. So we get a vision. So it's a device by which the Lord can hide the knowledge. He can give the knowledge to whoever he wants. So according to consciousness, one gets the knowledge. If one's lower consciousness, one cannot understand. Is that the reality? He doesn't desire anything in Krishna. So here, very interestingly, the statement regarding desire is presented as desire in transcendental loving service to the Lord. Desire is something you cannot relinquish at any point. Desire is the natural property and intrinsic nature of the soul. So to desire is the natural tendency of the soul. So currently, the desires are material. And for a pure devotee, it is spiritual desire. So here it is in the purport says, desires in transcendental loving service to Krishna. So such desires are fulfilled. The desires in serving Krishna. So you cannot stop desiring. Yes. Madhavi. Yes. Yes.
And he's not physically present. His mercy is there for everybody.
Correct.
Is that through serving the mission of Srila Prabhupada and some other ways that we directly serve Prabhupada? Like through the mission,
yeah,
of preaching,
that's right,
deity worship, all of those different,
yes,
elements that we have in this one to serve. So because sometimes devotees think to get the mercy,
mm-hmm.
But even if we just do do our service and do our sadhana process, that the mercy will come. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. That is perfect. Because mercy comes through endeavor. That is mercy comes through endeavor. Because that is Prabhupada's teaching. So endeavor in devotional service means serving the mission, as you stated, you know, in terms of preaching, in terms of sadhana, in terms of everything. All aspects of Krishna consciousness will attract the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And it's not just a specific task alone can attract the mercy of a pure devotee. Yeah, it is okay. There's an interesting point that even if a devotee tries his best, still it is not enough to get Krishna. So that's where the mercy comes. We can try our best, we are supposed to try our best. So still, that is insufficient to get Krishna. So when we try our best, then one can have perspiration. We're really working hard for Krishna. So definitely, it's a struggle. Anirudha Prabhu was giving another lecture. He was quoting Brahma Samhita about the penance. He was mentioning the penance. So quoting Brahma Samhita, Brahma is still telling, ultimately, one has to take the penance. That one has to actually go through difficulties to get Krishna. But that in itself is, again, insufficient. One has to go through. That is insufficient. That's where the mercy comes. That's where Krishna can lift. Okay, he's trying his best. Okay, now let me make it easy. So he can withdraw Maya. He can do suitable arrangements. So both aspects. Yes, that's right. So there's practically no choice. We are not denying the difficulties. We accept the difficulties in Krishna service. So, even just a reference, one devotee was telling me to this. Even in the Atmaram verse, there's, you know, the one letter is the cha. So, one explanation of cha is devotee should work very hard. One should endeavor completely. It is, you know, so even to the core of that philosophy, our philosophy, that is stressed. Thank you. Yes, bro.
Two more questions. Let's get on with the process.
Yeah.
Last time, and so in the same way in our service, if we can keep our determination to think sooner or later, Krishna is going to recognize that, or he's going to give us the mercy. It may take a lifetime. It will happen.
Yeah.
Because we're determined to do it.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to stop us, and Krishna says, nothing's going to stop us.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. It's a nice comment. So we had to be determined. That's the essence. Yeah. Because there are the ultimate reason is they are not surrendered. They are not ready. That's the reason. Because in just taking the example of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam very emphatically establishes the supremacy of Krishna, right? But after reading the whole entire Bhagavatam, they read one verse from 12th canto and they come to the conclusion that Krishna is not supreme. How is that? So they are not ready. They are not surrendered enough. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
The same question, why do practicing devotees also come up sometimes for the same things?
Same?
Like sometimes even as practicing devotees, we feel, why should we accept? Although we know Krishna is the supreme and we know the relation.
So, if I understand right, why in the mind of a practicing devotee the question comes, why do we have to accept Krishna as the Supreme? Is that right? The reason is, we are conditioned. We started accepting Krishna maybe after many lifetimes. We had a long journey without recognizing Krishna. So, that conditioning can remain to some degree in our heart. So it pops up, just like material desires come to into our mind, sometimes it just comes in without invitation. The same way, the thoughts which are unfavorable can come to our mind because of our conditioning. We are not pure yet. But previously it was very difficult to just to accept. This is, once in a blue moon, unfavorable thoughts are coming to the mind, which is okay. What to do? But then it is just one should understand it is not me. It is my mind telling, and one has to use the spiritual intelligence to subdue that mind and say, I'm feeling like this. Why should I accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord? Because I'm going through some difficulties now, some material difficulties I'm going through. So I feel, why should I accept? Why should I do all these kind of things? So it is just because of, it is just circumstantial. Rather, then with the spiritual intelligence one can see, then one can actually get back to the right consciousness. Yeah. Is that? Okay. Yeah. So the question is, one, just by reading one syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam, one can get Krishna Prem. At the same time, one has read the whole Bhagavatam, and at the end, by reading one verse, how can they reject Krishna? Right? The reason is, the Bhagavatam will reveal only if one approaches in the right mood, with the right surrender. Bhaktiya Bhagavatam Grahyam. One has to understand Bhagavatam in the fire of devotional service. Then Bhagavatam will reveal. Otherwise, Bhagavatam will not reveal, because Bhagavatam is a person. Just like you have your right to tell your personal secret to anyone. If you wish, you will tell. If you don't wish, you don't. In the same way, Krishna personally, he has his free will. If he wishes, he will reveal himself. If not, he won't. In the same way, Srimad Bhagavatam is a person, because he's Krishna himself. It's a literary manifestation of Krishna. So Bhagavatam can reveal if he wants. So a person who is not surrendered, if he's not doing devotional service, and if he's just reading Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam will not reveal. So even though it is mentioned, prema aksharayate, even though it is mentioned, each akshara of Bhagavatam is saturated with prema, it will not be revealed. So again, one has to surrender through the process of devotional service. That is what this purport is saying, the same thing. One has to surrender through the process of devotional service. Then Bhagavatam will reveal, otherwise it will not. Yeah, maybe last question, yeah. Can you please read again?
Prabhupada is saying that Lord Brahma and the goddess of fortune cannot achieve the full favor of the Lord, whereas the body can very easily attain such devotional service. This is the Prahlad Maharaj and Sukha Singh and Prabhupada said.
Oh, okay, that is in a particular context. Because Prahlad Maharaj's context, no one could actually satisfy Narasimhadev. Brahma, Devatas couldn't, Brahma couldn't, Lakshmi Devi couldn't, they tried Lakshmi Devi, she couldn't. Ultimately, all of them, Brahma being most intelligent, he sent Prahlad Maharaj in front of Lord Narasimhadev. And then he started his prayers and Narasimhadev got pacified. So it is mentioned in that context that a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, he is so innocent, but a pure devotee, he got directly the favor of Narasimhadev. He didn't get scared at all seeing Narasimhadev because of his love, and because he was not just seeing the anger. He was so innocent, and he was full of love for the Lord. So when he actually started prayers, immediately, even seeing itself, Narasimhadev's anger went away. Just seeing Prahlad Maharaj. So it is mentioned in that context. It doesn't mean that Brahma or, you know, Lakshmi Devi, you know, they didn't get, in that context, they didn't get that special favor. That's all. Yeah. Okay. We should stop here. Okay, finally, yeah. It will stop. So there are different stages of devotion, and if you are in sadhu sangha bhajana kriya, meaning come into the association of the devotees and then practice this devotional service, and one has to go through the stage of anartha nirvritti, or clearing the unwanted things from the heart. So those who are practicing, generally we are in the, or many are in the stage of anartha nirvritti, where by the practice of Krishna consciousness, the unwanted things are removed from the heart. So it can be a long process, but when one actually completes that process, then these thoughts are removed from the heart. Yeah. And mind becomes more steady. Dhanishtha. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Granthashrimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Jayanitai Gaur Premanande.